Remember when you were starting your career or starting something fresh? Or maybe you're starting now and it was exciting and new and you were learning and growing. You also thought that the company and your manager would help you guide your career path. Well, how's that going? My name is Todd Doherty and I host a podcast called Manage Me. I have 30 years of client, product, and operations experience from startups to retail to Fortune 100 companies. Listen in as I share real-world stories of business and life with solutions you can use. I'll have occasional fantastic guests that will share their insights as well. Come join me and learn real-world guides on how to be the most successful you and manage you. That's Manage Me Podcast and managemepodcast@gmail.com. Welcome back, Todd Doherty and Manage Me Podcast. I am really excited about today's guest, Smashing Depression and Living Your Purpose, things we'll talk about today. J.H. Tepley is an author, entrepreneur, international speaker, and passionate mental health advocate. A lifelong geek and research aficionado, she helps entrepreneurs overcome depression through her proven masculine-geared system of spiritual evolution. Her Unbreakable One program showed many men the road to personal power and renewed hope, and is credited with saving many lives. She spent the last 20 years teaching and coaching students around the globe. I am super excited to have J.H. Tepley here. Jay, welcome to Manage Me Podcast. Tell me a little bit about yourself. What is your journey? How did you get to where you are today?
Oh, it's been a long journey.
20 years, so, it sounds like.
Well, it's been, I would say, if we talk about dealing with depression, that will be close to 30 years. However, me teaching and helping other people will be about 20 years now. I basically was exposed to very early age, and it has to do with my background, because growing up, I was interested in things that most other kids were never interested in. And so I would read books for adults per se, and I was interested in astronomy, physics, and things like that. I was actually, for some reason, I was interested in words, you know, because as I was growing up, I didn't have many friends. I couldn't really connect with anyone. And so I would spend lots of time alone. And obviously growing up, that was a challenge originally. And then I discovered meditation and I started seeing how I could apply that in my life. And because I was a researcher by nature, even I remember I was reading encyclopedias and things like that, even as soon pretty much as I learned to read. So I was 6, 7, 8, 9. And when I realized that there are lots of tools scattered out there to help you get your mental fitness on track and build you other person, that discovery to me was fascinating. And I realized that, you know, there is just so much more beyond what we are taught to believe and look for, especially when dealing with things like depression. And so I started putting those elements together, and I started after a while sharing them with other people. And I've noticed that as it made a massive, massive difference for me, because if not that, I'm just being honest, without those tools, I probably wouldn't be talking to you right now, because there were more than one episode or moment where I was just thinking, you know, it didn't make any sense anymore. And using those tools really helped me. And as I started sharing them with other people, I've noticed that made a difference for them as well. Like one of my students, for example, he used to take prescription for his depression and anxiety. And after a few months of training with me, he just ditched all this medication, and he actually said it didn't sit right with him right from the beginning anyway, and he wanted to be free of it. And so he ditched it, he never looked back, and completely met free. And you know, enjoying his life and his freedom. So personal journey wasn't really something that most people would think of as a happy childhood in terms of, I mean, the family was great, but they didn't know what I was going through because I didn't want to share it with them because I didn't want to bother them or worry them. And similarly, I had reservations about sharing it with other people, even, you know, those few people that I knew, because, you know, every time I tried to reach out to someone, I could tell that they didn't understand, that they had, you know, maybe some ready answers or ready coping mechanisms, which just didn't feel right. So I was never lucky to find a mentor. I always wanted to meet someone like myself, someone who would say, hey, I really get it, I've been through it, and I know what to do. But that never happened. This is why my journey took so long. But I also learned a lot, and I gathered a lot of tools and strategies along the way. So that was good in that way.
Well, thank you for sharing your journey. Two things on that. One is you mentioned reading encyclopedias, and I remember being a kid and my parents had bought the whole Encyclopedia Britannica, and I never told anybody this, but I used to love just randomly grabbing a letter and flipping open Encyclopedia and just reading about whatever topic came up. I used to love that. So we have that in common. I think we also have in common, you know, not really understanding what we're going through and not being able to share it with others and thinking that they wouldn't understand and probably didn't, even if we did share. It's the good thing is that it feels like in the last several years, talking about these things has become easier. Not that everyone understands, but more people I feel understand. And I think, or I know, even just friends and people that I am associated with, you know, are able to share that. And that's kind of the big first step is sharing. Like, hey, I'm not whatever, not feeling well, or I don't have positive thoughts sometimes, and that kind of stuff. And I'm pleased that people are able to start to share that. And you know, thank you for, you know, taking what you've learned and starting to share that with others. It's certainly helpful, as you mentioned. In your studies and your research, you have seemed to kind of key in on males. Tell me why that is. Tell me why in particular men.
All right. Well, there are two reasons for that. So the first reason is that whether someone likes it or not, masculine energy is the driver for new things and accomplishing progress. And it's always been like that in all human societies. It's just the interplay of polarities in the universe that works regardless of what we like or not. And so, as you might have noticed, the support and the acknowledgement and respect for the masculine is being rapidly eradicated from our society. And with that, our society is entering an era of stagnation on one hand and of chaos on the other hand. And this is because we need strong masculine leaders and heroes to drive and move us forward. You know, we need those superheroes, we miss them. And because the mechanisms that used to build those men up are pretty much non-existent right now, it's harder, in my opinion, for men to manifest their essence in a healthy and powerful way. And so that led many males to depression because essentially, obviously, depression may come from different sources. So what I'm describing right now is just one particular aspect of it. And for men, or actually for women as well, it's not gender specific, but it is specific to how you manifest it, being a man or a woman. And so depression often means that you are not aligned with your true power, that whatever you are doing on the conscious level, on the ego level, your soul disagrees with. And your soul only wants you to step into your true powerful essence. It doesn't want anything more than that. And when men feel disconnected with their true masculine principle, they become very vulnerable. Actually vulnerable in a negative way, because right now in our society, we're talking about the power of vulnerability in terms of, you know, being open and sharing and all of that. This is not the vulnerability I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is being more open to mental manipulation, being more accepting of other people's views, whether they're true or not, and basically being more open to be pushed around and not following your true path, which in turn makes that depressive tendencies even worse. And so one reason why I'm doing this work is because I've recognized the need of this support and respect for the masculine principle. And so we can drive our society forward to something better. Well, definitely better to than the place that it is in right now. And so this is one part of the equation, because I think it's really needed and I think it's really urgent. And it came to the point that, you know, I was talking to many guys and they didn't even have a clear idea of what the masculine principle was about. And because they didn't have an idea, they didn't even know what it is they were looking for. And all those things that I've seen around so far, obviously did my research, that say it would be based on something that's popular and actually made sense over a century ago. So it's either something from the 19th century, you know, the Victorian gentleman, or it's the soldier kind of archetype, you know, first and the Second World War. And thing is, time changes. And as time changes, so do the demands that it imposes on us. You know, you probably know this famous saying that time, the times change and we change in them. And this is very true, even though it comes from ancient Rome. You know, they knew it even back then. And so right now, this principle of masculinity needs to be congruent with the spirit of time. So the Zeitgeist, if you want to call it this way, actually has its own demands and priorities. And so many men who try to follow that path because they long for that masculine core, they want to rediscover it and to reunite with it naturally, they get sidetracked by those ideas of trying to role play some ideas, some concepts that are not really relevant to our times right now. And the second part of the equation is that in my own experience, I still feel strange talking about it, but I guess I have to share it, because I wouldn't be able to explain my point otherwise. So I'm one of those people who remember their past incarnations. And me specifically, I've been predominantly incarnated in male bodies. This is because souls, just like bodies, can be male and female. And so for me specifically, because I'm originally a male soul, the majority of my incarnations were aligned with that polarity. And not just that, but I've been through very masculine jobs, like many of my incarnations, where a warrior or a soldier of some kind, and a monk. So I'm both on the warrior and the spiritual side. And so throughout those centuries, I had a lot of, I had a lot of time to observe what works and what doesn't. And I still feel a very strong affinity to that polarity where I naturally belong. And I know that, you know, for whatever reason, we need to switch our bodies from time to time so that we learn something new. But regardless of that, my affinity remained with the group that I originally belonged to. And I understand them so much better than I do females, because it's, you know, there is a difference between the deep down knowledge when you just understand and the knowledge that you've learned or something that you just read and you know because someone told you. So my knowledge of females and female psychology is more of a learned knowledge. And this is why I felt that because I don't really resonate with them on a deep level, I understand why they do certain things that they do, but because I've actually researched it and learned it, it's not intuitive, it's not deeply felt. And the way my mind works and the system that I've created, I recognize would not be fully beneficial for them. And because there are so many teachers right now, you know, helping females and just female support groups and you name it, I don't think there is a need for me to delve into it. And I think there is a great need for men to do it, because as I said, there are not many people who help them. And even amongst those people who say they do, I've noticed many of them actually do it in a way that in many cases serves to damage that person even further and taking them even further from where they're supposed to be.
That is, I'm glad you said that, that whole, you know, I actually partner with a really close friend, Frank Schwartz, and we co-lead a male-centered or male-exclusive, I should say, not centered, Unlocked Man. And so we hold calls weekly with, you know, small groups of men. And we talk about these things, about, you know, your need to find your purpose, your need to lead, your need to be strong. And this is a, is if taken out of context, this can be a very controversial topic, right? This doesn't mean men should, you know, bash people over the head or, you know, it doesn't mean any of that stuff. It means, you know, uncovering your purpose, having a purpose, leading, feeling confident, having that feeling of purpose. It's super important, super important.
Absolutely. So yeah, that's one of the things, because for men, not having a purpose to live for, that is basically the main thing that brings about their downfall. And as a person, I mean, because you know how we can talk about a broken man, but we don't really, there is not a saying, oh, look, a broken woman. It just doesn't, it doesn't exist, because difference between one of the differences between these two principles, the masculine and the feminine, is that the male principle, you can see it as very strong, but brittle in a way. So it's like, say, a metal rod, but it's a metal that if you hit it too hard, let's say a diamond, that would be a better comparison. So the diamond is the hardest mineral. And it cuts all other minerals, but if you hit it too hard, it will just split it to smithereens. And the masculine principle is like that. So when men lose the ability to follow their purpose and their true core, they actually turn destructive. And this is why right now what happened to us, in my observation, is that our society took away from men to be able to manifest their masculinity in an empowered and healthy way. And so many men started suffering and feel broken. And that turns them into that negative state, which is destructive or self-destructive. And then our society was quick to blame them for it.
That's true. Again, super, super controversial topic if taken out of context. And this is the hard part about, you know, having these discussions, because if you just hear the, you know, we're so ingrained now with society, with Twitter, and just getting the little snippet of something, and that can be taken out of context.
Well, if thing is, anything can be taken out of context, literally anything. So if we allow that to dictate our actions, we would never be able to do or say anything at all.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's, yeah, again, so I'm glad we're talking about this, because I didn't know we were going to cover this topic, but it resonates. So I'm so excited for some of my listeners to hear this, because, you know, some of them are on and included on this Unlocked Man group that that Frank and I run, and it's what the, some of the things you just said, A, mirror some of the things that we've been saying, and B, add to them and to why they're important. So thank you for covering that topic.
Absolutely. This is why I'm here. I really want to spread the awareness that there is someone out there trying to help, and that, I mean, Mel as a group, they need this clear action plan to achieve things, because that's how the male psyche works. Men are not as easily led by intuition as women are. And this is why, if they don't have this guidebook of some kind, they actually tend to feel stuck and depressed. And depression and not living your purpose is usually the same thing. So as I said, there are some other underlying roots of depression, like the physical, the state of the body, for example. But if we're talking about the spiritual level purely, it's basically that. So if someone feels depressed, it means that they're not living their purpose, and there are ego things that they do, especially if they have lots of, say, status symbols and lots of money and lots of connections. And then the ego goes, well, you know, you've achieved your purpose because look at your career, like it's blooming, and your company's blossoming, your profits amazing, just be happy. And the soul goes, well, yeah, but that is not your purpose, mate. You know, you need to wake up. And what it starts doing is then it sends like a little signal, like a little nudge going, hey, you're off track. And if that person ignores that and just doesn't change their course and they keep going, well, unfortunately, sometimes the soul can go, well, you know, if now gets to listen, there we go. That's your suicidal thoughts right here. And then the person thinks, oh my God, what have I done wrong? Like I've got it all. And here I am being depressed, thinking suicidal thoughts, like what's wrong with me? And sadly, our society has this like medical stroke counseling route for it. And I believe that, you know, I acknowledge it may work for some people, but specifically for entrepreneurs, I don't believe it does.
Right. Let's take a quick break and let's come back and let's cover that entrepreneur topic. Okay, we're back. Great conversation about focusing on men and why that is important. And you mentioned entrepreneurs. So tell me more about why entrepreneurs?
All right. Well, it's actually pretty straightforward, because entrepreneurs, what I see, the heroes of the new era, they are the people who are the visionaries, the pioneers, the people who are willing to trod the path less traveled and make decisions that other people, or most other people, are not willing to make. So they're a very special breed, I would say. They're not like everyone else. And there is a huge, huge difference in the way their mind works, in my observation. And so someone who is happy to be led and someone who is willing and has the courage to lead is a very different person. And because of that, they need very different tools and strategies that would work specifically for them. And once again, I observe that with the traditional help and therapists, and they tend to focus on what works for the majority. So for that majority, say 9 to 5, or for people happy to follow the lead. And because entrepreneurs are different, when they try to do it, usually it actually just brings them down and it doesn't provide the solution that they're looking for. And because I understand this kind of mindset, well, I'm part of the tribe. So I have an insider view on what's really going on. It was an obvious choice to help those who say, well, invisibly stand by my side.
Right. You know, and entrepreneurs, you know, they, like you said, they're leaders, and, you know, sometimes they're on their own leading, right? And they don't have a support system. Mm-hmm. And They are pushing uphill every day. It's you know, being an entrepreneur, and I'll call it a true entrepreneur, is very challenging. Having to self-motivate, not necessarily having a support system that helps you day in and day out run when you run into those obstacles. So it makes sense. It makes sense that entrepreneurs have similar challenges and above and beyond just, you know, your regular average male challenges. It's you know,
yeah, if absolutely. You're both, it's a lonely journey. You know what people often say, entrepreneurship is a lonely journey. And there is a lot more stress and a lot more pressure to make it work than if you're part of, say, a larger company. You're being told what to do. If you screw it up, there will be someone else to help you out. Right. And so that stress and pressure obviously takes its toll as well.
Yeah. And you wrote a book around entrepreneur.
Absolutely. I did.
Unbreakable Entrepreneur.
That's right. So I wanted to tell those guys that there is a way to make your mind unbreakable in the first place. And so you can go forward without worrying that, you know, you may suddenly crush, like suddenly you may get attacked by anxiety or depression, because this is how it's being positioned and presented in our current society and the current propagated worldview, that depression happens for no reason. So does anxiety. It can affect anyone at any time. And so you're basically defenseless against it, because once it happens, nobody's out there to help you, and then you will have to cope with it for the rest of your life. This is basically what they tell you. And so what I wanted those guys to know, that A, it's not true, because there is a reason why depression or anxiety happen. And B, you can uncover that reason and you can fix it. And so it means that you don't have to deal with it or cope with it for the rest of your life. And you definitely don't need to, and I would encourage you not to attach a label to yourself as someone who suffers from a mental health problem. And I know right now it's being presented almost like an elevating thing. Like, oh, if someone has a mental health problem, it's a power thing. Because by waving it around like a flag, it basically gives that person the power over others. Because if you say, you have to treat me a certain way, you have to do certain things for me because I have this problem, otherwise you're insensitive. And so for the ego, it's a very attractive proposition. And unless someone can recognize that, the ego will jump on it and it will defend that. So if the ego will start defending that concept within you, you will have a much harder work getting rid of it, simply because it's like, well, the ego loves power of any shape or form. And so it wouldn't easily let go. So the best way is to prevent that from happening. And the best way is to recognize that, treat your mind like a machine and say, if something breaks in that machine, maybe some detail needs replacing. And that's it. You know, don't attach like, oh, this machine is faulty. No, it's not. You just need to replace whatever is wrong and it will start working again. So if you don't think of yourself, yeah. So if you don't think of yourself a certain way, if you think of yourself in a more empowered way, like I have the power over my mind and I can control what's happening in there, which is true, by the way.
Right.
I can control what's happening in there. Then I'm in control, my deeper core and not my ego. And that actually helps to safeguard yourself from depression a lot.
Yeah. So attaching a label equals an excuse. And whether it's external, right, you need, like you mentioned, you need to treat me differently, or I feel internally, I'm giving myself a pass. I'm giving myself an excuse to act or be or perform in a certain way because I've labeled myself, right? That's hard. That's really hard, especially as you mentioned, in today's society, it's almost like society saying, no, you should label yourself. you know, so everybody knows, you know, but I want to be careful there. My thought is while you don't want to label yourself, you also don't want to bottle it up and say, well, I don't want to tell anybody how I'm feeling or what I'm going through.
That's the thing. Once you understand what it is you're going through, you don't have a problem with it, because you just go, well, you know, this detail in my mind is not currently working, and I'm working on replacing it. And that's it. Like, it's a temporary thing.
Yeah, I'm going through a maintenance period, right?
It's like my mind is under maintenance. Right. It's like, excuse me while I'm carrying out the necessary work. Normal service will be resumed shortly.
Under construction, right? Like a web page.
Exactly.
Right? And I want to go back to something you said before. I may not get exactly what you said correct, but you said something about, I'm going to paraphrase, it's not, depression is not forever. And that's fine. I love that. But I think the maintenance is forever, right? What do you feel?
Depends what kind of maintenance, because if you are talking about fixing an issue, it only takes a certain amount of time. And it depends on, like with any repairs, it depends on what kind of materials you have at your disposal and what kind of tools you have at your disposal, right? So if you have a good mentor who gives you all the necessary tools really quickly, you can be out of it in a few weeks. But if you're talking about self-improvement work in general, yes, that continues all your life, but that's not maintenance. That's more like an adventure.
Okay, good point. No, that's good designate the distinction between those two. And you mentioned mentorship, super, super important. And I think people, they throw that word out there, mentorship. And yeah. I think finding a mentor or mentors, because you can have more than one, or a coach or life, whatever you want to label that individual that's helping you, super important. I can't advocate enough. And you do that, right? Let's talk about that for a minute. You are a coach, you are a mentor, this is your profession. Tell us more about that.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I agree with you 100%. It's so important to have the right person mentoring you and coaching you and helping you along the way, because you know what they say, your mind is a dangerous neighborhood. Don't go there alone.
That's good. I haven't heard that before. That's good.
So it's very true, because most people don't understand how their mind works. And because of that, it's like, imagine trying to repair a machine, but you don't understand how it works. So it's actually very easy to make things worse if you're doing it on your own, or if you're doing it with someone who doesn't really understand what they're doing either. And the reason why I decided to just not be a quiet researcher behind the scenes, but step into the spotlight is because I've realized that loads of people out there, perhaps some of them are lazy, perhaps some of them are misguided, because I've seen a lot of coaches who just repeat what other people told them, and those people repeat what other people told them. And so it continues. It's like monkey see, monkey do kind of thing, you know, a photocopy of a photocopy. And so not just that, but certain very important details get lost in translation. And because the students don't realize that either, because what I've noticed that many guys have no idea what to look for in a coach. They would just take someone else's word. So say, oh yeah, you know, I have my coach and I'm like really happy. And they would just pass him or her on without judgment, because they just don't know what the criteria are. And unfortunately, many of the techniques that are being used right now are basically, they're more of a sedative. They don't solve the problem, but they make it go away for a while. And they create, it's almost like opium smoking. You know, if you injure yourself somehow, if you have a broken leg, and then instead of going to the doctor, you just smoke a joint, at that point in time, you're not feeling the pain.
But it doesn't mean, right?
But it doesn't mean that the problem has gone away. And while you're not feeling it, it's likely to be getting worse. And this is what I've noticed. And I think it's a real problem in our society, because even those guys who are looking for help and they find those coaches, and those coaches are not doing their own research. They're not trying to improve their techniques. They're just using whatever else they were given. And then those techniques that they were given weren't even designed to solve the problem in the first place. They are designed to be just like a painkiller for a bit. Then, you know, the student goes to them and it's like, oh, you know, I'm feeling better. That's great. The coach must be great. But then what they don't realize that after a while, there will come a crush, and then they will come to the coach again. And it's like, I don't know what to do, because I've been never prepared to deal with that. And so when that happens, unfortunately, unless there is someone around who really knows what they're doing, it can end up in a tragic scenario. And you hear about so many people who are rich and famous and celebrities taking their lives, because if you keep suppressing that for long enough, like with any pain, it will accumulate, the pressure will build up, and at one point it can become so strong that, you know, you may not be able to contain it anymore. And this is why it's so important to actually do your research, do your due diligence, find what that person is actually doing and why they're doing it. Because if they're like, oh, I just want to, with coaches especially, if you ask them, why do you do what you do? And they say, oh, I want to grow my coaching business to say 100,000 a month. And that's their motive. Then I'm not saying that earning money is bad, it's not, but if that's their main reason to be in the business, you may expect that their actions will be aligned with their priorities, which is giving you something that is almost effortless, works really quickly, it doesn't solve the problem, but you feel satisfied in that moment, so you keep paying. So always find out what people's true motives are.
Absolutely, I totally agree with that. And, you know, finding the right coach is hard. You know, asking those questions about, you know, why do you coach? And the other thing I want to tell folks who are listening, who are either looking for a coach, have a coach, it's okay to try different coaches, right? Sometimes you go to the doctor and you just don't hit it off. You try a different doctor. Sometimes you work with a coach and, you know, you don't hit it off. You try a different coach. Or like you said, it works for a while and maybe it solves some things, but not other things. Find another coach. It's fine. You're not, it's no hard feelings. It's all about you. You know, that coach, if, especially if they're all about the money and all that stuff, they're just going to move on to the next coachee and move on. So it doesn't make that much of a difference to them, but you're right. If you, you know, I know I work with Frank Schwartz. I've already mentioned it before. And, you know, we both feel that it's not about the money. We actually do a ton of pro bono coaching because for us, it's about taking our lessons, what we've learned and what we've gone through personally, and then helping the next guy. Because you know, we've done it. We see the signs where, no, everything's fine. Everything's great. I'm good. And as you mentioned before, you know, you climb that mountain. I'm successful. I have the cars and the wife and the beautiful kids and the beautiful house and vacations and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But you're not happy. Let's talk about that. Right. Because we've done it. I've done it. I know Frank's done it. And it's a joy to help people see that if they're open to it, which is the other side of it. If you want to be coached, it's a lot of work on you as the person who's asking for the coaching. It's a lot of work and you have to be ready for it. It is hard, hard work, but it's worth it.
That is so true. The way I describe it to guys sometimes, it's like, it's the same kind of principle that you can't, if you want to have a strong physique, you can't drop your body at the gym and come pick it up when it's ready. Right. So with your mind is like that. You have to put some effort in and then build your mental six pack, because that's how you become strong. That's how you become a mental athlete. this is what we actually need right now.
I am totally going to steal that term, mental six pack. I love it. That is,
I use it a lot. Yeah. Feel free to use it as well.
I'll credit you. I'll give you full credit, but I love that term, your mental six pack, right? It's not easy. You don't just wake up one day and say, look, I have a six pack, right?
Exactly.
In the same way, choosing a coach, that's a great analogy at the gym, right? I see trainers all the time, and there's certain ones that I'm like, I would never hire that person. They wouldn't push me enough. And that gets to another topic I want to talk to you about, which I'm sure you'll have some thoughts on, which is, particularly in the male world, the male society is that comfort zone, right? If I go hire that trainer at the gym, maybe I don't hire the one that I see really, really working people hard, because if I hire a trainer, I could say I hired a trainer, I could have them push me just a little bit, but not really push me out of my comfort zone. Cause you know what? That's scary. And I don't want to do that. And it's hard work. And, there's the book Comfort Crisis. And, we talked about this sort of in our pre podcast prep. I am on several of those journeys, and it's a reminder to myself. So I just was talking to a friend yesterday. So I don't have a drinking problem. I never have. I had a drinking problem. I'm not a big drinker, but just about a year ago, just before Thanksgiving, we were having a guest and they did have a drinking problem. And so as a family, we said, we're not going to have alcohol. We just don't want to have that environment. That's not right. And it's just, it's one day, right? Oh, Thanksgiving, US holiday. Sorry.
I know.
And I haven't had a drink since then. Well, I should say I didn't have a drink for about 9 months, and then I had one. And so in the last 2 years, I've had six drinks. And it was just a personal challenge to me. It was like, I honestly stepped back and thought, in my life, when I was drinking, what's the best thing that's ever happened? Like, what, because of drinking, what's happened? Like, what great things happened? I couldn't think of a single one. Not a single. Yeah, you get relaxed. Yeah, and to your point about, smoking opium, before, you kind of numb some things. Again, I've never had a drinking problem or that stuff, but I thought, well, let me just try not drinking at all and see what happens. And you know what? I didn't miss it at all. So minor sort of, comfort crisis kind of thing. But what are your thoughts on, males and the comfort zone, as I call it?
One thing I would like to say is that beware of your comfort zone. This is the thing that's going to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm serious. Just run away. Whenever you find that you are getting too cozy, too cushy, run away. This is because if you don't, your soul will start rebelling and making you feel really unhappy, no matter what else you have, no matter what other achievements you have to show. If you stay stuck within your comfort zone, you will unfortunately activate that self-destructive mechanism. The reason why that happens is because if you look around you in the universe, take any living species, anything, you will notice that what it wants to do, it wants to grow and evolve in some shape or form. And so even as, say, generational change, where each generation is evolving towards a better form of themselves, the evolution of species. And so we are not exempt from that rule. We have to play by that rule. And so as a person, if you're not evolving, and you can't evolve if you're stuck in the comfort zone, if you're not evolving, it will come around and bite you right where it hurts. And if you look at your friends, neighbors, peers, whoever else you see doing that, you will see exactly what is happening and how tragic it can be, because that brings people down to their knees. Don't do that. You really owe it to yourself to opt for more and to provide more possibilities for your life. And actually, life, what they say, life unexplored is not a life worth living. So this is one thing. And another thing about the comfort zone is that it goes, for men, it goes against your core masculine principle, because being cozy, cushy, and protected is more on the feminine side. And so for girls, it's not as deadly. But for a man to be straying into the polarity opposite to your own, it's actually weakening you as a man. And with that, guess what your soul does? It starts screaming at you. And this is where depression comes from. So don't do it to yourself. It's a lethal trap. And I know that the ego may say, oh, you know, but what if I try and fall and fail? What if someone disapproves of what I do?
Good.
Yeah,
good.
They may. They right. may, right? But it's not worth sacrificing your life for.
Totally agree. You know, another thing, just within the last 6 months, I joined a global male-only organization. It's called F3, and it stands for Fitness, Fellowship, Faith. I will tell you, it's one of the hardest things I've ever done for a couple reasons. So it's a global organization, and it's a, you know, fitness, starting with fitness, right? So 5:30 in the morning, a.m., outside, every day of the year. Okay, maybe not holidays and stuff, or when it's lightning or tornadoes or any of that kind of stuff. But, you know, 340 days a year outside, any weather, we work out. And I got to tell you, I've been getting up at 6 a.m. since high school. Getting up at 5 a.m., I absolutely detest it. I don't know what it is. I hate it. I don't want to do it. But going to these workouts with these men and getting pushed to work out hard. I've never left one of these workouts feeling, God, I wish I didn't do that. I mean, I hate getting up. I hate going there. I hate it. But once I'm there, and when I leave and have been physically, mentally pushed, and the male fellowship, you know, great, great bunch of guys. It's fantastic. And so similar theme of, you know, finding things that push you out of your comfort zone, push you to learn, push you to grow. It's been one of the best things I've ever done.
Absolutely. And bonding with other men is super important because, you know, you need a pack, like a team of people, your legion, your army that goes together with you to achieve whatever goal that you're mutually sharing. And what is about the third F?
Faith. So, you know, in combination, so, you know, fitness, fellowship, and faith is, you know, we're there to, and it's not like super religious or any of that stuff, but we're there understanding that there's, you know, we've got all sorts of religions, by the way. And the one common theme in all religions is we love each other, right? No matter what religion is, I don't think, at least I haven't met one religion out there where they say, no, we're here because we hate those other people, right? That's, I mean, I don't think there's a religion. I hope not. And I hope if there is, I never want to meet any of those people. But the main purpose for religion is we love each other. And so, you know, we'll have a circle of trust. We call it a COT after the workout. And we just say, hey, is there anything we need to, you know, pray about or share or, and we'll just say a quick little prayer and that's it. You know, nothing too crazy. And, you know, we have Muslims, we have Jewish people, we have Christians, we have everybody. And it's just super bonding. Like you said, you need that male pack, that male, you know, army. And I know some of these men pretty well, and it's only been 6 months, and I know some of them vaguely well, but I feel like my pack would have my back if something happened with my family or me or whatever it is. It's great.
Okay, that's so important.
Yeah. The brothers are there, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, having this feeling of brotherhood actually makes you stronger as a person.
Absolutely.
So you're stronger as a member of the group than when you are on your own. And this is something that I think many entrepreneurs struggle with, because you don't really have, you have masterminds, but it's not quite the same. And it doesn't have this aspect of uniting people based on very deep spiritual principles. And even if some of them do, it's actually just only one part of the equation.
Mm-hmm.
So even that, this is why I ask you what the third F was about, because I was so curious how they understand and how they understand faith and how they put it in action for this group. And from what you described, they only do one thing and they don't do the other thing, which is having spiritual workouts.
Spiritual workouts. Okay, tell me more.
Because if you don't, that is where the problem starts. Remember, I'm going to explain in a second, because remember what I said about the evolution of the species. And so we need to keep constantly evolving. Otherwise, our soul will remind us very harshly that we must. And so same as the body has its needs, you know, for rest, for exercise, for a nutrition, so does our spiritual part, because we're not just the physical beings having this spiritual thing as an extra on top. We are actually spiritual beings having this physical experience. And so same as we need to keep our body fit, healthy, and strong, we actually need to become fit, healthy, and strong spiritually. And this is especially important right now in our day of age. This is because the changing times actually require that of us. We have to now step into our spirituality, whether we like it or not. So for some people, it may be like waking up at 5:30 and going to work out in the rain, but they hate it as they're going there and they love every moment of it. But some people may actually love it right from the beginning. It's like, yeah, I love waking up at 5, it's my best time ever. You know, the 5 a.m. club and things like that. That spiritual wearing appreciation and compassion for others, it's important, but it's not the whole thing. And this is why for men, it can be very challenging. Because if you go and they promise you some spiritual insights and they only give you that, what will after a while was many peeping girl on it. And it's super annoying because it's not right, but you don't know what's not right. Also because everyone else is telling you that everything is right. So the spiritual workout. We need to do certain practices, say certain meditation practices and certain self-inquiry practices, but also say energy weightlifting, so to speak. So
mental six pack. This is the spiritual six pack.
Yeah. So this is a spiritual six pack. So, and the spiritual weightlifting, because if you don't, then you fall behind of that flow of evolution, unfortunately. So if you only focus on the physical part, the spiritual part is like an extra where you're like, oh yeah, we just say compassionate to each other. Your spiritual part will start feeling very dissatisfied with what you're doing. So again, guess what? That can bring about an onset of depression. So we as spiritual beings need to function a certain way, and we were programmed to function a certain way. And the majority of us don't do it. Or we're doing it incompletely and not enough. And it's still better than not doing it at all, but it's a difference between starving and being malnourished. It's still not ideal. So the best idea is to actually give yourself enough nourishment, both on the physical and on the spiritual level. And what I mean by that, we need to understand that as says man, there is that physical part, there is that spiritual part, and there is that goal-striving mechanism that is inbuilt and that will never stop. We need to keep constantly satisfying that. And that goal-striving mechanism is something that's helping us and using that power in the physical world. In other words, you need to learn to be the king or the ruler of your unique reality. And you need to create and structure your world in alignment with your will. And so this is what my training does, for example. It includes those elements that allow you to become, people say energy healer or a manifester and things like that. But it's not just a skill in itself. It's that you are supposed to be. And it's not an extra, it's a must. And this is what most people don't realize. So spiritual six pack, and it's not about being nice and fluffy, because sometimes it involves in, you know, wallowing in spiritual mud, let's say, until you clean, and lifting up heavy spiritual weights and facing your fears and doing some really hard work, but really fulfilling, that takes to the point of you now have your body under control and your mind under control, not like a tyrant kind of thing, but like a ruler kind of thing. You are now the ruler of your domain and your life unfolds from there.
Well, that's awesome. We covered a ton of topics today, and wow, we could probably talk for another couple hours. I hope I can get you back as a guest, because I just, this topic or topics is super important, resonates with me personally, and I know will resonate with a lot of folks and listeners that I have on the podcast. I want to make sure
to join you again anytime.
Awesome. I really would love that. This has been awesome. I hate to cut this off, but I we could literally talk all day long, and you know, I'm sure my listeners don't want to hear for, you know, 6 hour long podcast, but maybe we'll break it up to a couple different episodes. But I want to make sure that anyone, if they want to reach out to you, what's the best way to contact you? How should they contact you, and any of that information?
Right. So you can find my website, theunbreakable.com. You can find my books on Amazon. And at the back, you will find a link to my Telegram group, which is Unbreakable Entrepreneur. And you can find me there. You can find me on Facebook, on Twitter, on TikTok, on YouTube, pretty much any social, or J.H. Sablik, which is my name.
Awesome. And what I'll do is in the podcast episode notes, I'll put you know, all of these links in there, your bio and all that. I know it sounds cliche, but I can't thank you enough. Great topics. Loved the conversation, and super happy that you agreed to come on the podcast today. And really look forward to working with you again.
It's been an absolute pleasure. And thank you for having me today. Hopefully we will be able to help make their life better.
Awesome. Thank you again. Hey, you know, these podcasts don't pay for themselves. So I want to let you know that I'm a member of Dollar Shave Club. I've been a member since 2013. It literally costs me $5 a month, less than $5 a month, to get my razors delivered to me for my face and my head. And you have the opportunity to do the same thing. Check in my episode notes. You'll see a link to Dollar Shave Club. You can get your razors, your shaving cream, body wash. They sell tons of products, and the quality is exactly the same as you would buy from any of the regular shavers out there, all the name brands. So Dollar Shave Club, can't recommend them enough. I want to thank you for listening today. Really appreciate you spending time with me. Hopefully you learned something. I want to remind you that I want to hear from you. So if you have a question or input, remember, go to manageme.godaddysites.com or email me at manageme.podcast@gmail.com. On the website, you'll be able to submit a voice recording, something that you want to hear, something that you want to have on an episode, and I want to hear from you. I want to hear about your topics, your guests, your input, your feedback. Hopefully good, but also bad. Talk to you soon.